What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 43. My name is Jared. I'm here with my buddy Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world. Beautiful and very fucking hot Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, fucking hot as fuck.
Today's episode, we are going to be talking all about UFC on ESPN4. Four of our favorite fights from that card. We're going to take a look ahead to UFC 240's main event and co-main event. We're going to spend some time talking about boxing, and we are going to get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
This week we've got a couple unique strains. We're starting off with some pixie dust. Now, pixie dust is a indica dominant hybrid. It's a little bit hard to find. It's a cross of White Widow, which is one of the world's most famous strains, and lavender. How's that taste, man? It smells delicious right here. Before I get into a little bit more of the genetics on here, let me hit this puppy here, too.
I've had that strain for a couple of days now. It's keeping me high.
Yeah. You've been smoking on this a minute. Yeah, man. That is tasty. Ooh. This White Widow and lavender. Now, White Widow, of course, is from the Netherlands originally, one of the most famous strains in the world. Blew up in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from an original strain from a Brazilian sativa land race and a South Indian Brazilian sativa land race and a South Indian indica. So it's like a good 50-50 balance. But this lavender is a three-way cross. It's super skunk, big skunk, Korean, and a Hawaiian Afghani. So,
this shit's got lineage.
It's got some good lineage right there.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. But you know what? Let's switch up. Let's try our other one real quick. Yeah. So let's save this fucking bong here. Our next weed we got here in the little pipe.
Go for it.
This is a 60-40 sativa hybrid. This is some banana tangy. Which this is one of my favorites. I've had this one a couple days myself.
Okay.
And this is legit as fuck. This is it's banana kush crossed with tangy. Now tangy is a California orange crossed with skunk, and banana kush is OG kush crossed with skunk haze. So a lot of fucking skunk in here and a lot of fucking fruity flavors. So like banana kush has that legit banana flavor. It's like a really cool strain. Like I've smoked that by itself a lot. And tangy being, it has that California orange parent, which the only thing I've tasted strain-wise it has the amount of fucking orange flavor that comes off that is, you know, Cannabiotics. Have you tried their L'Orange, which is it's a custom strain here that they make in the Vegas area and probably in California.
We've smoked on that before.
That shit is like super orangey. I mean, it tastes like you just drank some orange oil. Like it's super fucking strong. But other than that, Tangy's got that strongest flavor. California orange, which Tangy is part of. So this shit is supposed to be super fruity. I found it so, at least in the bong. I don't know, this pipe's not the cleanest, but let's fucking hit this shit here. Got a bunch of keef on top of these bowls too. Oh yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I've also been hitting some Gorilla Glue Shatter prior to the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see this dope-ass rig we got here. I'm going to hold this up to the camera. This is one of Paul's cooler fucking pieces here for sure. What you think of that banana? That banana tangy.
You can smell the fruitiness of that.
Yeah, I've been noticing that a lot lately with that strain. Because it almost smells like you're burning a little bit of a fruity incense when you're fucking smoking it indoors. Which is cool. I don't mind that either. Whew. Well, those are the weed of the week.
Yep.
Let's dive into let's start off with the fights that we saw here this last weekend, which was the fourth event on Big ESPN.
Yeah.
Headlined, of course, by Leon Edwards versus
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah, this weed is caught in my throat.
RDA versus Leon Edwards.
Yeah, versus RDA, which we both, in our fight picks on Instagram, we always release fight picks on our Instagram account, SWAT MMA Podcast. We both picked Edwards to win. That fight went exactly as I thought it would.
Me too. And I feel like that's like the last couple fights RDA's had. They've all kind of went that way. You know, whereas like he is right there, but he's just not at the same time. You know what I'm saying? That was very similar matchup with him and Usman. Very similar matchup with him and Colby. He did get back on track when he fought Lee, but I still kind of see him just in a weird place now at welterweight. Maybe
he's in a really weird place. He's like gatekeeper for a title contender.
Sort of, like, but the thing is, he can still beat that like number six guy. He just can't beat that 2, 3, or 4.
Like we tend to think of, there's like different levels to gatekeepers. Like in MMA, at least, you can be a gatekeeper to the top.
Here's
10,
the problem. What makes
and he's like a gatekeeper to the top 3, or 4. Like if you can beat him, maybe you should get a title.
What makes him a gatekeeper though is his age. Because if he was still 27, 28, we'd just say he'd been going through some rough times and he can put it back together. Yeah. But he's an older fighter now. He's been fighting forever.
Kicked. He was in the fight. I mean, he was just
But he wasn't though. He was getting his ass kicked. He was.
I guess I mean like brutally. Like he's not getting like. Like, we talk about him being older, but it's not like he should retire or nothing. He's in the fight.
See,
like,
I kind of disagree. Because if you're in those higher-level fights, you're in a more dangerous game. Because now, he's fought for 5 rounds in probably 3 of his last 4 fights. And that's just tough on the body at that age. If you're getting beat down for 5 rounds, it's even tougher on the body.
Yeah, Edwards has got some pretty good hands.
I was surprised with his versatility in this fight. I mean, he's always been kind of the guy to push the pace, get the takedown, kind of control you, and then do what he can on his feet. But this time he was pushing the pace on the feet, and he was throwing a bunch of different strikes. Like, I really like that elbow that came off the, like, off the release. Like,
yeah, his elbow off the break. Yeah, you're talking about. It's very nice.
His first takedown was it was pretty cool too. Like it was weird. It was like a hybrid, like body lock kind of shot, but he's kind of ran him over. It was kind of strange. But I mean, it really was just a dominant performance in a class and just like nothing to take away from it. But I tend to really agree with, like, Ariel Helwani said this week that he compares Leon Edwards to Tim Duncan, where he just beats people, but no one really, like, it's just fundamentally sound, but not very, like, entertaining. That's kind of, unfortunately,
yeah,
that's
his
style.
Not the most entertaining fight.
It's not the most entertaining fight, but it was a perfect.
But it had a lot of action.
It did. It was a perfect game plan that he just executed. And it wasn't flashy. He wasn't going to, like, knock him out. He was going out there to beat him so badly that no one thought that he won, which he did, you know?
Well, he won the decision. I thought he won all 5 rounds, but he won it, like, 50-45 and then 49-46, 49-46. Yeah. And then he did what I think was the smartest thing he could do. The very first
Jumped
thing he said
the
in
mic,
the interview
yeah.
is he calls out Jorge or George. He goes by both these days. I never know what to call him. It used to be Jorge, and now he calls himself George, but everybody me knows him from back in the day still calls him Jorge. I don't know. George Masvidal calls him out right away. Smart move.
Yeah, super.
They got
smart.
That bit of history.
Yeah, he got 3-piece with the soda.
Yeah, if you don't know about the 3-piece in the soda by now,
yeah,
I think everybody's heard about that.
Yeah.
So they got that history. They got the backstage scuffle that we're referring to. I think that's a no-brainer because I don't think Masvidal deserves a title shot after Askren. He's still 2-2 now in his last 4. There's other legit contenders. There's an interim champion who's taken Robbie Lawler on. I mean. Let's go ahead and get that rolling.
I think that's what depends there. I think if Colby were to lose, I think they give Jorge the shot. But if Colby wins, I think Colby gets a shot and Jorge fights Leon.
Yeah, because they can't give the shot to Lawler. That's not a title. That's only a title shot with a win.
Yeah, but if you're Kamaru Usman and fucking Robbie Lawler wins, you're probably going to give Robbie Lawler the shot over everyone else just because he's such a legend. That's still a sellable fight. A lot more people know who Robbie Lawler is than Leon Edwards, unfortunately.
Shit, I think Woodley'd have a better chance of getting a rematch if that happened. But that's a
you know
whole
what
other,
I'm saying,
that's
though?
A whole other
just putting,
discussion.
Yeah, obviously. But I don't know.
Masvidal versus Leon Edwards, though, I think makes perfect sense in the meantime while the rest of this shakes out. That I think that's an easy main event right there.
And here's the thing, too. If Masvidal hasn't taken any damage, really. I don't really know how much damage Leon took last night. It didn't really seem like much either. He's probably what, 30-day medical suspension, probably at most?
At most.
So
60 tops.
Yeah.
I would say.
So let's say they turn it around and they want to fight in the next quarter of UFC events. So
yeah, they could get a fight in before the end of the year.
They could probably fight in November, and then freaking Usman is still talking about he doesn't know if he'll be able to fight this year. So if that's the case, then let's see that happen, because I think I tend to agree with you where George does have a claim to the title, but he also does have some asterisks against him as of right now.
Yeah, and if he goes out there and he beats Edwards
soundly, that time, then the rest then of that's the division three in will a shake row. Out a bit, yeah.
And he might be able to get that title shot.
Well, and here's depending. The thing. But he was at the top of the division before those two losses. You know, like, he was not, remember, he knocked out Cowboy. Everyone was like, what the fuck? Remember, that was crazy to everyone. Because remember, I think that was Cowboy's debut at 70, wasn't it? Or like his second. Right, yeah, there, it was something there. But remember, everyone thought, that was kind of when Masvidal kind of faded away from, like, and then he came back to the UFC and he put, I think he won three in a row, and then he lost to Thompson and Maya and then Thompson, which kind of derailed where he was at. He's been like looming in that like top 10 for the last 2 years, but now he really has a chance to really cement himself in this division, because his two big wins are like,
they're huge.
They're huge wins, dude. He fucking starched the guy who was supposed to come and dominate the division, and he also starched the kid who was supposed to own this division by now. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to give him his due at some point here.
No, I got no. I love fucking Masvidal.
Yeah,
I'm just going. I don't think from a sporting standpoint. I think there's other people in front of him that need to get the title sorted out. But he goes out and beats Edwards. I think he's got a good shot at getting the next one after that. But either way, I think the right fight, Leon Edwards, George Masvidal, let's make that shit happen, UFC.
Yeah, I'd be down for it, but I also wouldn't, like I said, I also think giving Masvidal the title shot is not the worst thing in the world either.
No, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple other fights from the UFC on ESPN4 card. One that I liked and one that I didn't. Let's get the bad one out of the way. Let's just go ahead and talk about Greg Hardy versus Juan Adams. We both picked Adams. I thought Adams' experience would hold up. Greg Hardy gets the win in like 30 seconds or some shit in the first round, because Adams does some stupid shit, goes for this takedown, and then never lets go while
Hardy just beats the fucking
shit. Hardy just hammers, just not the hardest punches, but he's a big, strong man still. Yeah.
Hit him with like 40 unanswered strikes, though. It's like, what the fuck did he expect to happen?
Adams just held onto his leg and left his head pressed up against Hardy's leg and just took blow after blow after blow until the referee had no choice but to wave it off. Adams gets up and protests right away because whatever. But
yeah, but you
can't take 40 fucking blows and just hold onto somebody's fucking leg.
And here's the thing, too. He can't act like none of those hurt him either, because he was bouncing up and down like those. Yeah, those were
Greg
affecting
Hardy's a
him
big,
for
powerful
sure.
Powerful man, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, he could hit a lot harder than that. It's just what I'm saying. It wasn't, you know, they were.
There weren't the hardest punches, but they accumulated when you get hit with like fucking.
Yeah, there was no pivot.
There had to be
no
almost.
Spin. It was
there
no
had
real
to be,
punch. It was just a pure muscle, like from point A to point B. Real
exactly.
Quick. But his.
You know what I'm saying? Though it's
no
got
denying
there
it
had to be
stop.
Around 20 unanswered strikes there
stupid
in a row.
As fuck.
Yeah,
it was dumb as fuck by Adams. I'm sorry,
but that's good. Here's the thing, and we talked about this a little bit before, but this division needs to understand something. He came in here like kind of as a sideshow almost, you know, like kind of had that feel to it. He was a crossover athlete, but they need to understand that now he's a threat, because honestly, you can't just deny his, like, you can dislike him and dislike what he's done and all that shit, but you cannot dismiss his skills at this point.
Well,
he has legitimate
skills. That's
obvious
what Adams did. Adams dismissed his skills. He hung on to him like Greg Hardy doesn't know what to do with a 240 or 50 or 60-pound man running at him. He came from the goddamn NFL. He knows exactly what to do when a huge man's rushing
at
him. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to give the man some credit, right?
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing is he's going to keep winning the more people try to discredit him. All it's going to take, and honestly, I don't know how many fights I see him winning inside the top 10, but I just think people need to stop looking at this and saying that, oh, he's got no chance. Because
he has
a world-class team behind him that he's training with on a daily basis. American Top Team has all the champs right now.
Like, there's an argument American that they're top the best team. Camp in the country
Dude,
right now.
Absolutely. They have all the champs, no matter the female division, too. Yep. Like,
if you count...
They got the Nunes. Titles that
they've won. They got
Covington. Masvidal. Fucking
Orlovsky Poirier. Now, who we're going to talk about next.
They got Dustin Poirier. They got Yoel Romero. They've got so many fucking people at that gym. So, and there's been countless fighters go in and out of that gym too, like Tyron Woodley and Robbie Lawler, people like that. So it's like, it's just one of those situations where it seems like they have the right formula where they can breed champions. And it's...
Yeah, men, women, across divisions,
yeah,
whatever.
Dude, it doesn't matter. Because what it's been, too, is it's been fighters that were... Like Amanda Nunes is a perfect example. Amanda Nunes, at the beginning of her career, had a couple steps back where she was... She looked like she was right there. But she, like, kind of did it, wasn't quite there. And then she went to American Top Team, and they fucking changed her game. And now she's the GOAT.
Yeah.
She'll even say, she's talked about it multiple times, that, like, she credits American Top Team for her ridiculous success that she's had over the years now.
Right.
Same thing with Masvidal. Same thing with Poirier. Poirier fucking drives half across, like, he drives, like, 6 hours to go down there to train.
And he was super loyal to his camp in Louisiana. That was a big move for him when he did that.
He does half and half.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, you can't deny it. So, and they're working with Hardy, and you can't deny it. We may hate him as a person for what he's done in the past.
You can't deny his skills.
But we can't. That's why we're fucking talking about it.
Yeah.
Because now, the good thing is, if you're not a fan, which I'm not, you're not, is he's done enough now where now the big boys are going to be like, okay, somebody big is going to fight him next.
I think he's going to fight.
And now we're going to see what's up.
I could see him fighting someone like Tai Tuivasa or something like that.
Dude, Tai Tuivasa is a fucking fighter.
Like, I would like to see him fight him.
I mean, that dude's like a street fighter. He's a longtime fighter. You know, that's where he came from, was street fighting.
Yeah. Because
like,
I would like to see him up against a style like that.
Yeah,
I'd
like to see it too. Cause
just to see how he reacts, because we don't really know what it's like for him to even get out of the first round.
And people aren't going to dismiss him
like
Adams.
Like people can say what they want about that Crowder fight, but if that went to the judges' scorecards, I think he probably would have won. I mean, he got DQ'd and whatever, and obviously what he did was illegal and whatever. I don't care that he got DQ'd.
It is what
it matters. But I equate that to him being young in the sport, not having no skill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's been cultivating his skills over there at American Top Team, and he's legit, man.
Dude, you can't deny that the skill set learned in the NFL, I think, adapts well.
It does.
Towards mixed martial arts.
Because we've
arts.
Seen countless other people in the heavyweight division alone.
Right. This isn't an anomaly. This is
Matt Mitrione, Brendan Schaub.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
those
guys.
These are guys that had all their fights in the UFC, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of those, Mitrione and Brendan Schaub, I do believe had all their fights in the UFC at the start of their career.
Yeah.
And that says a lot. And look, they're both legit.
There's been some other guys, too. Obviously, Brock Lesnar.
Right. So,
I mean.
We can't deny that he's going up there. And I'm just hoping one of these more skilled guys that won't dismiss him like Adams did kicks his fucking ass.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
For some reason, there's been like a narrative going around that Derek Lewis and him are going to fight. And if that's the case, I'd like to see that as well.
No, that'd be a main event, too.
And here's the thing. It's going to be a minute if that's the case, though, because Derek Lewis didn't just get knee surgery. So he probably...
Yeah, on a knee problem he'd been having for like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how soon he's going to be able to come back. So maybe Hardy takes a lower level fight in between. But I just think... The easy fights are not, there's not very many left for him, is the thing. Like,
and I think the days of people
Dana's done a good job cultivating him, though, to be honest. He sent the right talent to him to really test him, and I think he's passed all the tests. That's just really what it is.
In some ways, I think Hardy is getting lucky. He's delivering. He's winning.
He's not getting lucky, though.
But, no, skill. I don't mean lucky. But he's getting lucky by how dismissive. Like, look at Adams last night. Like, anybody with a slight bit of thinking would think that it doesn't matter if he doesn't have a wrestling skill set. He knows what to do when someone huge is coming at him and trying to fucking shift his weight and get him out of the way. He's going to be able to handle that with ease. Yeah. And to just dive in like he doesn't know shit like that. Yeah. And then hang on to that leg like he's
what
gonna
was your
fucking,
plan from there?
Like he doesn't
honestly,
know what to do there.
And
that's
here's the thing.
Crazy to
here's
me.
The
that
thing
was
too.
So dismissive. Here's so I mean, let me finish real quick. That just means he's lucky in that way of people being so dismissive of him. I think that's done. No one's going to dismiss him like that no more.
Here's the thing too. It was a shitty like sprawl. He could have just reshot and cut the corner and probably took him down.
Yeah, absolutely.
like
just let go. Reset. Mm-hmm.
It was dumb.
It was really dumb. And it was so dumb because, and I think you're the one that nailed it. I think it was so dumb because it was so so dismissive of Hardy's skill set.
Yeah.
Like, NFL athletes are real athletes. I don't know why people would somehow think that they don't know how to handle
themselves. Well, and here's the thing, too, is like, the NFL is all about explosion. That's really when you break it down. That's kind of what MMA is also. Mm-hmm. When you explode on your opponent, you get a lot of times you can get a finish. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's enough about Hardy. We're gonna see what's up with his next fight.
Yeah, we'll see. But
now, speaking in the heavyweights, the other fight that I really did enjoy and surprised me, I picked
Was this
Rothwell.
A rematch?
It was a rematch from.
I had to think it was because I mean they got. Arlovsky's fought everybody.
I picked Rothwell to win, even though the fan in me wanted Arlovsky to win.
I took Arlovsky. I knew because you didn't know it, but I knew that he had switched gyms.
I somehow missed the fact that he went to ATT and did some obvious work with their boxing coach over there and came out. The man threw over 100 significant strikes, broke his own record for significant strikes. Think about that. Look how old he is, how many fights
he's had.
He's
a savage, man. How old is he now?
He was throwing combos.
He's got to be like 38.
Beautiful.
Right?
He's 38 or 39.
Yeah.
And in MMA years, he's 42.
He's 576 years old.
Fucking. I don't know why I said 42. That was like, he's 4 years older in MMA years. No, you're right. He's like 130 in MMA.
Yeah.
But.
Dude,
he looked so good. Yeah, his punches was fucking incredible. His combos, 3, 4, 5 punches, nonstop.
Here's the thing.
Barrage.
If you can evolve with the striking game, you can stick around at heavyweight, honestly.
Yeah.
Because at heavyweight, you're not seeing a lot of like really great grapplers come in and just dominate on the ground. Heavyweight's always really been dominated by strikers. When you think about it, like Stipe, I know is a wrestler, but he was predominantly a striker as well. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
so,
look at Kane; he's a great wrestler, but it was his striking and his fucking nonstop barrage of punches that people really.
I mean, in just the last few years, I mean, obviously, if you go back, you have like Couture and like Lesnar and all those.
DC's.
But I'm talking like just in the last few years, the heavyweight division's been ran by strikers. So it's like with Arlovsky, if he can just evolve and keep that timing that he has always had, then he's not going to have as many problems fighting at heavyweight, obviously.
It's so weird to me that heavyweights...
There's so many old heavyweights.
In MMA, they have the longevity. They have more longevity than anybody, but they're taking the hardest fucking punches to the head of anybody.
But they're probably
but they're
taking
the
least,
can stick
though.
Around.
They're taking the least punches, though.
The least cumulative punches?
Yeah.
That could be it. Maybe that's... worse.
I mean obviously getting rattled. CTE I don't know. Yeah.
But
getting rattled, but I guarantee you if you get rattled and then get hit 100 more times after that and never go down, that seems to me like that would probably be a bigger problem just getting put out with like one or two punches.
Because you look at like Faber coming back like he did a few weeks ago and he's 40 and people are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, and this... Dude, no big deal for a fucking heavyweight in MMA to be 40 and fucking be in the top 5.
No one's even calling for him to, like, retire either. They're just like, yeah, he's looking good. You know? It's crazy. And
he
does.
He broke his own significant strike record against Ben Rothwell's a legit heavyweight. And
Is he, though? Because, I mean, he took some time off. He's
had a
back.
Fight since his time off.
Yeah.
He was under suspension. That's his fucking
that's
time off. I mean, he had a 2-year suspension. Yeah. But he had a win since then. And he was on quite a roll before that.
I mean, there was a lot
of talk about him, and he was looking good prior to that. And
I think he's a little bit on the back end. Both these guys are on the back nine for sure as far as their career.
It was an entertaining fight, though. I enjoyed it. Good for Arlovsky. I was not expecting that.
There are some great heavyweight fights. Give a little shout-out to Walt Harris, too. Holy shit, dude. Oh, my God,
Walt Harris.
That crazy.
We both picked Olenek to flying knees, win that. Man. Yeah.
Jesus.
We're talking about the Walt Harris versus Alexei Olenek fight, which we both picked.
Well, you know what Walt Harris did, though? He just didn't let him get close to him.
Yeah, he knocked him out in 12 seconds. Third fastest heavyweight KO.
But I think it was like 40 seconds or something like that.
Well, it was 12.
Really?
Yeah, oh, shit. Third fastest. I was trying to think who was faster than 12 seconds in the heavies, but yeah.
There's got to be
a flying knee and then a left hand and then yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Time. How many times have you seen Olenek, though, just straight up touch gloves and Ezekiel choke somebody? And that's happened to Walt Harris before when he fought Werdum.
Right.
You know, he straight up touched gloves and Werdum just subbed him in like 30 seconds.
It was like embarrassing.
It was crazy. I mean, obviously it was early in his career, so yeah. You can't really fault him that much. It was a last second fill in, all that good stuff.
Yeah, true enough. And obviously but still, he's had quite the run since then.
He's put it together.
Shit.
That was a sick knee. It's crazy though. He's so athletic for a big guy because that was a switch. He switched in the air. That was sick.
That was fucking pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
shout out to Walt Harris on that, too.
Dude, and Olenek was out for a minute, dude.
He couldn't even walk out of the cage. I heard he had a bit of a knee problem, too. So.
Oh.
I don't know, but I don't know the details
on that. He went stiff, though, so I don't know.
He was asleep, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're saying in the immediate aftermath he had a knee problem. By the time that...
That's a guy I probably would like to see retire after that.
Yeah, dude,
he's got 60 fights now?
Yeah, he has more submissions than most guys have fights.
I'm pretty sure he has
47
like,
submission victories.
Yeah, he's got
some shit.
I think he is 56 and like 10 or something like that. It's ridiculous. Crazy.
He probably should retire.
Yeah. I mean, or fight someone who's not an up and comer. Like, come on.
Bellator time.
Yeah, maybe. Go fight Fedor.
Well, I think that wraps up the UFC on ESPN 4. Let's bounce ahead to
this
upcoming weekend's card. We've got, UFC 240 pay-per-view. The card overall, I got to say, is kind of weak. It's pretty shallow, but the headliner's good. The co-main event is okay.
Here's the deal. Whenever you look at these cards and they're shallow... Here's the deal. This is a chance for one of these guys to become a star.
Yeah, a lot of times they deliver. The fights deliver.
Because remember, we had a very similar situation about a year and a half, 2 years ago in Australia when Robert Whittaker backed out and it was Yoel and Rockhold and the rest of the card was pretty weak. But then on that night, we were introduced to Israel Adesanya. We were introduced to freaking Tuivasa. We were introduced to a whole new crop of fighters from that region.
Saw Shuey for the first time ever on national TV from Tuivasa. Yeah.
So I think this is, it's a little, like, I agree with you. It is definitely a little shallow, but this is a chance for one of these guys to become a star.
Well, let's see if you're right, and let's hope that happens. Let's take a look at the main event here. We've got the Featherweight Championship, Max Holloway versus. Yet another title shot for Frankie Edgar, which I'm not mad about.
I'm not mad about it, but I don't necessarily agree with it either.
It is what it is. They were scheduled two times beforehand. And the reason we're a little hesitant is because of that Ortega fight, right? I mean, let's be honest. He got KO'd by Brian Ortega.
I was there live. It was intense. It was the first knockout of his career. And honestly, and then he turns around and only beats Cub Swanson, who he's beat twice before, right?
Something like that.
I don't know.
I think he got it a lot on his name, but it's Frankie Edgar, and I fucking love Frankie. The thing is, though, I don't love him in this
fight. Here's the thing, I like Frankie a lot, but in my honest opinion, I think Volkanovski's the number one contender in this weight class.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that. But that's neither here nor there, because this fight's happening, and it's happening in just a few days.
Yeah.
I
don't like Frankie in this one. I think Max is going to tee him up.
I mean, Frankie's a live dog in any fight he's in. He's Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's definitely most likely.
Here's the thing. When Edgar fought Aldo both times, he just couldn't get Aldo's timing down. And then you look how Holloway... I know I'm doing MMA math here, but then you watch how Aldo and Holloway fought, and Holloway was pushing the pace and had all those timing down all day and ate all his shots, whereas Edgar has had trouble with Aldo both times. So I just don't see where the style gets any easier for Edgar in this fight with a guy who's a lot longer, can push the pace harder, and is faster. You know what I'm saying? And Max is never going away, ever. We saw him take the biggest shots from Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier fucking lit him up, and Max never backed down, was just smiling the Absolutely. Whole time. And he got, dude, there was a few times we were talking about that they should have called it. There was a, it was a little dicey. Yeah,
especially there in the fifth round, too.
It was dicey. So
Dustin was teeing off.
So I just don't see a world where Frankie comes in here and dominates this fight.
Be pretty fucking unlikely.
Unless he hits him with a big shot, anything can happen at that point. I mean, you're Frankie happen. Edgar, but it's Frankie I don't know.
Edgar. He's one of I the do think guys Max in the UFC, but
yeah, I think Max respects him enough as a fighter to not necessarily go in that way. I think Max is going to do what he always does. He's going to tee him up with some fucking jabs. He's going to hit him with a fucking 100 jabs, 100 straights, and then late in the fight, he's going to hit him with big hooks and try to put him away.
Yeah. I mean, all due respect to Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, but Max Holloway is Max the greatest featherweight of all time. Is the
greatest featherweight of all time. Yeah. And I think this cements that legacy is Saturday. I mean, people can say what they want, but who has Holloway not beat that isn't named Conor McGregor? Nobody.
Yeah.
And Conor's never coming back down to 45. Nope. If they ever fight, it'll be at 155.
Dude, I've said it on here before. I'll say it again. Conor's probably never coming back to the UFC, period. So
I tend to disagree, but
that's another conversation.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation. My point is, though, Max Holloway is the featherweight division at this point. Yeah,
for sure.
And I just don't see anybody beating him anytime soon.
Oh, me neither.
And honestly, not even Volkanovski if this was him. No, I didn't see him winning that either.
Similar to Edgar.
The fight I really want to see with Max, I know this is a little, we didn't talk about this before, but
tell me.
The one fight in the division I think that would probably give Max the most trouble would be him and Yair.
You think?
I think so. Just because on the feet, I think it would come down to Max being a little too open. He said it, he did. I think just because Max is so open with his defense and Yair is so ridiculously unpredictable.
But he's so green still. Like he.
That's
me,
what I'm saying. Eventually, no,
much.
I don't think he's gonna go in there right now. I'm saying that like, green like here. Holloway's gonna be around for a minute, dude. I'm saying Holloway's like that fight can build from here.
So you're thinking when Rodriguez is a little more seasoned, you see him in the future being not. I was just thinking immediately, like I just didn't see him possibly hanging. But okay, that's a valid point. Then somewhere down the line, a little bit
I
more
think
seasoned
he's trending
on the fucking stake.
Trending in the right direction is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let him marinate a little bit longer in the division with some.
Well,
wins
here's the thing:
we'll
is like, and
happens.
A lot of people also say that Ortega was like in there somewhat, but I think he needs to do a whole lot more work on his feet until that becomes a competitive fight.
Yeah, me too.
Because Max was having none of that ground game.
Well, let's fucking talk about Ortega real quick. We got some. We can just shift right into that because we both think Holloway's going to win, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Brian Ortega for a second because there's some rumors flying about his next fight.
Yeah, that him and Korean Zombie are fighting.
Yeah, I hear that's pretty close to a done deal. So that's a sick fight.
That'd be so sick. Yeah, Korean Zombie who just came off piecing up homeboy. What's his name? Hinato Moicano, who had the closest fight with Brian Ortega.
Yeah, that's why he was getting so much respect.
Brian Ortega is another one of those guys, though. He is never going away.
No, he's
Max
really young too.
Punched the fuck out of him.
Like, what do you mean in a fight?
I hate to break it like down simply like that, but Max hit him so many times they had to stop the fight. And he was not willing. He didn't want to stop the fight. He wanted to keep going. He's a fucking savage.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He's a savage and he's tough and he's there for all five rounds.
So I think that could be it could be a rough night for the Zombie.
Korean Zombie, he seems to have turned a corner. I mean, you could always count on him to be in the fight.
And Max ever fought Korean Zombie?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, just only due to that big break the Zombie went through, first with the shoulder injury after the Aldo fight, and then his service, and then back, and then he injured again, and then
remember, for a while, Zombie was like the blueprint for the closest fight of like really pushing Aldo to the brink.
Yeah, I mean, had not been for the shoulder, he probably...
He could have.
There's a strong argument that he could have done it, but that doesn't matter either.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, he lost. That shit's over and done.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't deny that he seems to have turned a corner right now. He's moved to America. We discussed it, I think, last week or the week
And everyone before. Knows that Yair loss was pretty fluky.
He was very fluky. He was winning that fight, and then that happened, because this is why we watch MMA, because that shit's awesome.
So I don't really think Zombie has... If Zombie puts Ortega away, I think he has a legitimate claim to a fight with Max. Because if you look down the division, there's a lot of younger guys, a lot of... And then, like, a lot of guys, like, on the edge. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of... The whole division's been real switched up.
Especially if Max versus Volkanovski gets the next prior to that.
Yeah.
Gets announced prior to that, I mean, after. Because assuming that Max wins this weekend... And then in a month or so, maybe they announce his next fight. That would line Zombie up real easy for after that with a win. Fucking for sure.
I think so, too.
That's a great fight, though. And I'd actually, right now, I'd pick Zombie, man. I know Ortega would probably be the odds-on favorite in that fight.
Yeah.
But I think Zombie's done something special. I think he's going to show us something.
Yeah. And here's the deal, too, is like Ortega's still a young guy. If he were to lose to Zombie and Max Holloway, those are not bad losses to have on your record.
No,
you can definitely turn it around from there.
No, and that's also, not the end of his career at all.
I wouldn't mind seeing Brian Ortega at 55 right now.
Yeah, that's shake a good things point. Up. That's a good point too. I can't remember how tall he is, but he seems like
he's a big motherfucker, dude.
Like, and he's young enough; he can still be cutting that weight. But
yeah,
he might be a whole different fighter at 55.
I think that jiu-jitsu style would be really effective at 55 right now.
Yeah.
Like, for real. But there's always the dream match, dude.
The dream match that is?
Crone Gracie and Brian Ortega.
Oh, yeah.
That's the jiu-jitsu
dream match. Gracie's next fight's been announced as well.
Yeah, Cub Swanson next.
Cub Swanson. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I think that's kicking the dead dog, dude. What the fuck?
Kicking a dog while he's down.
Yeah, whatever the saying is. I'm going to
come along and piss a little bit on Cub Swanson.
Yeah, dude. What the fuck, man?
Feeding the motherfucker to the wolves, right?
Yeah. God damn.
Like, damn, dude. This dude's a G. Cub Swanson. Why didn't you give him a win?
Come on, bro. That's like six losses in a row for him. Seriously. And that's not really a test for Crone also. Like, Caceres, that was not a legit test for Crone. No. Cub is not really a legit test for Crone.
Not now.
No. I mean, I'm sorry. He is not right now at all.
Can't deny it. He's got a lot of fight years on him, though. I mean, Cub's put in work, and he's been a great fighter, but he's definitely in a downswing.
Crone someone like...
Five losses in a row.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then he's just likely to get just murked. He's going to get subbed real quick.
Real quick, dude. It's going to be sad to watch, too. Like, legit.
Fuck. That's fighting, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell somebody when to hang it up.
Fed.
They do. It's a young man's game, dude. Is really what it boils down to. Is eventually your body just won't do the things we saw it a fucking couple weeks ago, too, with Gilbert Melendez.
But your brain still tells you can get out there and fuck people up.
And you can. That's the thing. Just people that are... Also, your age.
Right. You can't be...
No, like, I'm obviously... Dude, there's tons of fighters right now that are older that could probably still hang with these guys. But the question is it worth it at that point? Because there's going to be some fucking tough fights in between there.
The UFC is content to feed the old dogs to the young boys. Bellator's where I think. Well, that sounded weird, right?
Young wolves.
They fucking, you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're content to let Bellator fucking have that market.
It's weird, though, because now Bellator's cultivating more talent and Bellator's kind of starting to tip the scales. Also, ONE FC is doing this, or ONE Championship, I mean, is doing the same thing. They're bringing these guys into the mainstream, these big stars. Like, James Gallagher should be in the fucking UFC, dude. Like,
yeah, he should.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Darian Caldwell should be in the UFC, man. Like, Horiguchi should still be in the UFC,
definitely,
man.
Definitely.
Like, Ryan Bader should still be in the UFC. There's a lot of guys that still should be in there. Phil Davis, what the fuck? Why did we ever let Phil Davis go?
Dana like, White doesn't want them wrestlers, man.
Stupid.
It is.
I know that free agency is good because, but I also at the same time wish this was boxing where everyone could just fight everybody. Unfortunately, right. Obviously, it doesn't happen in boxing, but...
Theoretically, we wish that possibility anybody could fight exist. We wish we could have this cross-promotion fights. Well, we are getting some of it now with, again, Bellator doing joint events with...
Yeah, UFC is talking about they're the ones that are always ahead of the game, but really Bellator is pulling off some really successful fucking
big fights, man. That weed smells good as fuck right there. Mm. Well, that wraps up. Well, no, let's talk briefly. The only other semi-decent fight that's worth talking about right now, and hopefully we see some really amazing action we'll talk about next week, but the co-main event, we've got Chris Cyborg on the last fight of her UFC contract, taking on undefeated but still pretty green Felicia Spencer, fresh off her victory over Megan Anderson, where she just climbed on her back and choked her right the fuck out.
I don't know if that works on Cyborg, though. Yeah, she is a black belt, isn't she? She rolls with Gabby Garcia, so...
Yeah, she fucking rolls with Gabby, so... I don't know about this fight. I guess we'll learn a lot about
I think
Felicia
Cyborg
Spencer.
Fucks her up. That's this is Cyborg's chance to get back on track.
And this is also Cyborg's chance to showcase herself to other promotions.
And this is also her chance to show the UFC how much they need to pay her to fight Amanda Nunes.
Well, she has a pretty tumultuous relationship with the UFC right now. As she might not even want to sign. She might want to go out with a sick-ass KO and go sign with fucking
There's some big fights out there for her. Yeah. Also, go to PFL, fight Kayla Harrison.
Or she could go to PFL, fight Kayla Harrison, and try to get a fucking $1 million.
Yeah.
There's that opportunity as well, which might look pretty juicy if you're fucking Cyborg.
Here's the problem, though, if you're Cyborg, is if you want to fight more, you're going to have to go with the UFC.
No, I was just going to say the opposite. The UFC, what, are you going to keep fighting the bantamweights that jump up to how many girls are in that 145 division?
Listen,
now?
This is the problem, though.
Four.
Is when your contract goes up with the UFC, there's like contingency windows where you can't negotiate or you have to give the UFC like 3 to 6 months to get to possibly just negotiate your contract. Yeah.
Yeah. They can,
before you can go out and sell your own self. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
Well, everybody's is different, so we don't know that Cyborg's...
Yeah, but the last, like, four free agents that were
typically
big...
Typically, the UFC doesn't have like matching rights. But that's all these other guys and other people like Davis have left, is Bellator's made that offer, and UFC's declined to match.
That's like, true. Fucking.
So we'll see. We'll that fucking see. True. But, yeah, I think... I would be shocked if Spencer wins that fight, so... There's that. We're both in agreement there. I think that's what everybody is in agreement with. We're no fucking wizards here with that fight.
I think it's just too much too soon.
And there's no other choice.
There's
who else is she
going to
fight?
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, who else would she fight? There's no one else in the division. Cyborg's the number one contender. Espen Ladd, who keeps having trouble at weight, even though she's small. We're talking about 135er here, folks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That division's weird.
Strange one.
So, you know, we had a little bit of news break. We didn't discuss this before either, but talking about the women's 145-pound division makes me think of the men's flyweight division, where we had Dana White come out and say that Henry Cejudo's next fight needs to be at 125 and needs to be against Joey two times Benavidez.
So?
Which puts the kibosh on this whole dump in the division thing now, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, hey, Jared.
Yeah.
What did Henry Cejudo do? If he fights Joseph Benavidez next, what did he do?
Went to bantamweight and he got forced.
Shut up, dude. He saved it. He saved the division, dude. He really did.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about this bullshit line of nonsense again.
He did.
He saved the division. Stop this.
He did. He did, dude.
You know he has nowhere near the social media following
has
of
nothing
Mighty
to do with
Mouse.
It.
He's Shaken. Not more popular. This is a myth that Cejudo is, quote-unquote, more popular than
Demetrius because it happens Johnson. In every division.
Bullshit.
It happens in every division.
What
it
happens
does.
In every division?
It happens in every division.
Henry Cejudo happens?
No. Listen. No, Henry Cejudo as...
He wants to fight a featherweight now.
Listen to me. So here's the deal. It's not Henry Cejudo as a person I'm talking about. I'm talking about what he did happens in every division. We've seen it over the last 2 years. Literally. Or make it 5 years now. It's crazy to think it's been that long. But over the last 5 years, we've seen the entire UFC been shaken up. DJ was just the last pillar to fall. And now we're seeing it happen now in real time, and we've seen it before, so we're discrediting it, is what I'm saying. We've seen it happen with Conor McGregor. We've seen it happen with Chris Weidman. We've seen it happen. All these guys who just came in and defeated big champions and became quote-unquote stars in the sport are now have this bigger following that maybe isn't that much bigger, but it seems bigger because that huge star who was once there is no longer in the limelight of everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm not necessarily saying that Henry Cejudo as like, oh, the guy going out there and being cringy and doing all that shit. But the idea that he went in there and beat the guy who was the man for the entire existence of the weight class, shook the division up and made people look down and go, hey, why are you going to get rid of a weight class when you just had the biggest thing happen in the weight class ever? Now you're just going to let everybody go. And now, since then, we've seen Dana White all of a sudden sign 5 different flyweights through the Contender Series, and now he's gone out and signed a few free agents, and now the division actually has a top 15.
And he's talking about the title fight.
And now
fight.
He's talking about a title fight. So I'm not saying Henry Cejudo going out and being cringy saved the division. What I'm saying is Henry Cejudo going out there and kind of almost, you're not going to like this, but kind of carrying the shield as of like, I am a flyweight, and I'm going to be interesting now because what I just did was big, and everyone needs to see it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of what Holly did. It wasn't long-lasted, but when Holly came in and beat Ronda, everyone was like, holy shit, Holly is the greatest of all time. Like literally, after she beat Ronda at first, everyone was like,
oh, yeah.
Wow. Holly is
with her boxing pedigree at that moment.
Everyone
in time,
was like, wow,
like, she's the greatest.
She is the greatest combat sports athlete of in the women's division.
It's the
ever.
Same thing.
But about
Henry,
it's the same thing. Pedigree. They're saying about Henry. They said it about Connor. They said it about all these different people.
And it's
whether,
true for that moment in time.
And whether it's sustained is not, is just what happens. You know what I'm saying? Henry could lose to Joseph Benavidez. It's happened before to him. He's lost to him. Although, we've said this a million times, I don't think he lost that fight. But.
Well, we'll see. We got 6 months of injury layoff here for Cejudo coming up. So we'll see what actually happens, what actually gets signed, and what goes from there. But hopefully you're right, man. I'd like all these dudes to have jobs and continue with the division. I don't want to see it get dumped.
It
just
doesn't
like
seem
that's
like
what
it's
was
going to
happen.
Now, yeah.
Like the UFC gave all the signals they were going to do that. So
it seemed like it was gone, and then out of nowhere it came back.
Shit did fucking pay off. Good. I'm not mad about it. You know,
yeah.
I just don't like Cejudo very much.
I know you don't.
That
like
doesn't matter.
And
it's
I'm not really
division.
Saying
I like the flyweight division.
Yeah.
So
that's basically what I'm saying. Is it shook the division up to where people are like, well, this one guy was so fucking good compared to everybody else, and then one of those everybody else beat him. So it's like, wow, maybe everybody else has gotten that much better as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I was thinking about when we met Henry in New York.
Yeah, dude.
And
he
you
was
got
all
your picture.
Sick, dude.
He was all sick, and then I was like, "Nah, I'm not getting a picture with him." That was cool though. He's your boy. You got to meet him. That shit was dope though.
Yeah, dude. That shit was.
He put on that big winning smile for being sick. I was like, because when he was all coughing and shit, I was like, man, he's
like,
not going to look
shit,
good in
dude.
This
he's
picture.
Not going to want to
like,
do a picture.
It's like he's going to take this picture and he's going to look like he wants to throw up.
Dude, it was
up.
Crazy. He was on FaceTime with Kamaru Usman at the same time, too.
Yeah, that
was
crazy.
Weird.
We were standing there. He's talking to Usman.
Yeah, it was strange.
And he's like,
I kind of felt
he,
bad.
He threw up that smile like it was like the fucking goddamn, like he just won the gold medal
dude,
then. He was like,
yeah.
Dude, like, goddamn.
Think about how many pictures he probably takes a day.
Dude, he's a pro with that shit. No,
yeah.
For real.
That's one thing about all these guys. They're all in, like, say, like, I don't really, once again, I don't really like Ollie as a person, but Ollie, all his guys, all his guys are always in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Always. Whether it's on Ariel Helwani, whether it's on doing those media luncheons, all, they're always in front of the cameras, and they're always in the main event.
Although him and Helwani seem to not be getting along.
Yeah, I know.
Nice. I don't know if that's, is that a work?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care.
All right, well, let's kind of move away from MMA for a minute. Last night, we had a big boxing match happen. We had Manny Pacquiao taking on Keith Thurman. And Pac-Man looked fucking... Didn't look 40 years old last night to me.
Yeah, you know, we write that article for Slugfest Magazine. If you don't know, folks, you can check that out at slugfestmagazine.com. We do boxing picks. We've been doing that for a long time now. I picked Thurman. Paul picked Pac-Man.
I knew Pacquiao was going to win that shit, man.
I thought Father Time was finally going to catch up to him in this fight against a big puncher like Thurman. I thought that was it because he's a light guy. He's 40. He's fucking 40.
Yeah.
And for a guy his size, that's ancient.
I don't think Thurman's been the same since that time off.
Yeah.
His last fight, he didn't look sloppy. He's hittable now. He's a lot more hittable than he was before. He just kind of stood in front of Manny.
And Pacquiao looked great. He did. He looked really good.
Hell yeah. That first, when he knocked him down in the first round, I was like, holy shit, man. Man,
that was really not, I wasn't expecting that at all.
No. And honestly, Thurman, like, he started getting going in, like, I want to say, like, the sixth or seventh. But he had some good rounds as well. But then I just feel like he never really got ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just kind of there, but he never really was, like, doing anything to really win the fight over in the judge's eyes. There was one judge that gave it to Thurman, but everybody was like, what the fuck? But, I don't really know, man, because it's a good win for Pacquiao, but I don't want him to fight anybody else in those at the top of that weight class. He's just not on their level anymore. Like, the only people left really for him to fight are going to be the winner of Spence and Porter or Terrence Crawford.
Right.
And I don't want Manny to fight Terrence Crawford or Sean Porter or fucking Earl Spence. I'd much rather him pull Mayweather out of bed, dude. Like, honestly.
Yeah, because they're talking about that fight a bit now, too. Another Mayweather-Pacquiao fight after this. That was kind of the talk.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know where Pacquiao really goes from here. It's got to be Floyd. I don't want it to be one of these younger guys because he definitely is... He'll compete, but I think he could get put away by an Errol Spence for sure. And Sean Porter, I think, will put him away too. And I definitely think Terrence Crawford will put him away. And I don't want to see Manny get put away. Not at this age.
No, I agree with you 100%.
I'd much rather see him fight Floyd fight
Floyd, get a payday.
At the end, they both... It goes to a draw. They fight a third time.
he's a politician. You know, he's serving the people. And he's like a legit. He's probably doing it for
the Well, here's the thing. He's not going to take ridiculous damage in a Floyd fight. And if him and Floyd, you know, they fight one last time, they ride off into the sunset.
Right. No, that's what they should do.
For real.
Something happened. We didn't talk about this before the show, but... thinking now we're talking about boxing, and there was just some news that I want to talk about about Pernell Whitaker's passing.
Yeah,
July 14th, Pernell Whitaker gets hit by a car in Norfolk, Virginia. We're talking about this Pac-Man Thurman fight. Pernell was scheduled to be here in Las Vegas. I was going to go see him at the meet and greet. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time. Like, I grew up watching him. He was one of the reasons I got into boxing. And then when I was boxing, I mean, I wanted to fucking be Pernell Whitaker. I mean, I wasn't big like Tyson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking fought at 139 pounds. I was fucking way down in that weight class. And there was nothing fucking cooler than Pernell Whitaker. And this motherfucker gets killed crossing the street
at
55 years old out of the blue on July 14th.
Crazy.
Absolutely. So I got his Wikipedia page up, and I'm just going to read it real quick. Because Pernell Whitaker has done so much in his career that I just want to just read this list here real quick. And it's not something that I can just rattle off the top of my head. So he fought from 1984 to 2001. He was a gold medalist in the 1984 Olympics, of course. He's a four-weight world champion. He won titles at lightweight, light welterweight, welterweight, and light middleweight. The undisputed lightweight title, and the lineal lightweight and welterweight titles. In 1989, Whitaker was named Fighter of the Year by The Ring magazine and the Boxing Writers Association of America. And then from 1993 to 1997, The Ring magazine ranked him as the best active boxer in the world, pound for pound. He currently, at this time, holds the longest unified lightweight championship reign in boxing history at 6 title defenses. Whitaker is generally regarded as one of the greatest defensive boxers of all time. Now, he finished his career with 40 wins, 4 defeats, 17 KOs, 1 draw. And 2 of his defeats were incredibly controversial. I mean, anybody that's seen the fights, and we're talking about the Ramirez fight and the Julio Cesar Chavez fight. And there's also an argument you can make that he won the De La Hoya fight as well. But none of that ultimately matters. Wasn't the Chavez
one, was it a draw?
Yeah, that was the draw, yeah. So, I believe, so I don't know, I'm pretty high right now. And I still can't believe the guy's dead. I'm still just like shocked. But, you know, we talk about defensive boxing here in 2019, and most people tend to think of Floyd Mayweather and his shell defense, and that is not what Pernell Whitaker did. Pernell Whitaker would drop his fucking hands and move all the way down. I mean, folks, if you haven't had the pleasure of seeing what Pernell Whitaker could do, just go to YouTube, type in Pernell Whitaker highlights, and you will see some of the coolest fucking moves you've ever seen in a boxing ring. There's footage of him with, seriously, he's squatting so low to avoid punches, his ass is 1 inch off the fucking canvas.
Damn.
And he's fucking moving around, standing up, spinning out, and fucking clocking people. Like, Pernell Whitaker was high-level entertainment. He was not, when we tend to think of boring, right? When you hear somebody's always a great defensive fighter, we tend to think that's fucking, well, he's technically great, but it's boring to watch. That was not fucking Pernell Whitaker. He would drop his hands and clown motherfuckers all the time. I mean, when we watched that Tyson Fury fight in his last one against Tom Schwartz, and he did that move that everybody's talking about when he drops his hands and he dodges, like, you know, fucking 5 punches. I mean, the fucking word right out of my mouth is like, holy shit, he's like a giant Pernell Whitaker, you know, all this time later. And Pernell, man, he was fucking something special. And he had all kinds of fucking troubles and all kinds of issues outside the ring. Yeah. And he could still fucking go in there and fucking be... When the Ring magazine at any point ranks you as the number one pound-for-pound boxer in the fucking world, and they do that for 5 or 6 consecutive years, that is high praise
indeed.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
Like, that is not just some bullshit. That is really, really fucking high praise indeed.
Yeah.
Like...
One of the greats, for sure.
You can't fucking get much better than that. And it's a terrible thing. It just shows you, man, you never fucking know what's going to happen, dude. I mean, we all hear that shit. It's like this cliche we all hear, right?
Yeah.
But then when you hear something like that, that just brings it home. I mean,
yeah,
that fucking dude is like a childhood hero to me, being a young boxer. Like, I was so looking forward to fucking, I couldn't believe he was going to fucking be here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, rest in peace, Pernell Whitaker. He just had his funeral shortly after we're taping this, or before we're taping this, in Norfolk, Virginia. And it's one of the greats of all time. We're going to miss in boxing, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
A moment of silence for Sweet Pea Whitaker. We should load a bowl here, man. I got some of this banana tangy right here.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Jason Knight fell out of his BKFC bout with Leonard Garcia? He's got a rib injury, man.
Dude, did you hear that Mark Coleman and fucking... Mark Coleman and... what's his name? Ken Shamrock are going to have bare-knuckle fight.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, God.
Woo. Yeah, I think our laughter right there speaks for itself. Although, I got to be honest, though, Mark Coleman has been going through some fucking shit. Like, that dude has had to have some serious neck surgeries. He had a GoFundMe campaign for his neck surgeries. So I'm happy for him to get a payday. Ken Shamrock, though. I don't know. A bare knuckle fight club, bare knuckle fight promotion. Fucking
dude, they got a dude straight out the pen on their next event. Gets Anthony Johnson.
They do, man. He's fighting Fedor's brother straight. I mean, he's in the straight pen out on some pen. Rape shit.
Yeah, dude.
Like, he's no joke, like a felon. Rumble Johnson's gonna fuck Emelianenko up.
I wonder if it's open weight or is it like 265?
I believe it's open weight because they're all throwing that number of 300 pounds around for That's Anthony what I was Johnson. Saying. They're yeah. talking 300 all over the place.
I know. But is he efficient at that weight class? I don't know.
Who knows? Because he can just focus on his hands, so he doesn't have to worry about stopping takedowns.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to worry about getting kicked. He's going to worry about the clinch and his boxing, so... He could probably be pretty efficient, I would imagine. He's a high-level athlete. He's explosive as hell.
Yeah.
Thing is he going to be too muscular because he's fucking huge? If you follow him on Instagram, he's gigantic. Yeah. And Emelianenko's not. He's not a big dude. I mean, he's a heavyweight for sure, but he's not like a muscular.
Yeah, dude. He's kind of like his brother. He's like not huge, but he's like kind of. He's just a thick motherfucker.
All covered in some prison tats.
Yeah.
This dude. That's going to be crazy shit. But yeah, Coleman. Coleman, Ken Shamrock. You think they're going to get a replacement for Leonard Garcia to fight? They haven't announced anything yet.
Dude, Artem should do it.
Artem probably would too.
Probably.
That's not a big enough fight for Artem. They should give Artem like a big fight.
Who's I don't he know fight who that next? Could be though. Yeah, it had to be Leonard. That's like the next big fight for him.
Nobody but us hardcore MMA fans know who Leonard Garcia is. No disrespect.
A lot more people know who Leonard Garcia is than whoever else they got for him.
Yeah, no, that's probably for sure. Unless they pull in somebody else. I can't think of any free agents that might bounce over there right now.
Yeah.
Although they seem to be making a fucking series of these signings. I mean, say what you will. And we're cracking up about Coleman Shamrock, but... They have to wave some decent money at them to get them over there. I mean, maybe not massive millions here, but...
I don't know.
Is this success? Is that success for Bare Knuckle Fight Club? At their 7th pay-per-view? 8th pay-per-view coming up? Like, I don't know what event they're going to be on, but they're currently... Their next event will be their 7th. Is that a successful thing for them to get Mark Coleman and Ken Shamrock? We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not successful. I'm just saying it's fucking a sideshow.
Hilarious, right?
It's a sideshow.
Is it too much of a sideshow, you think?
It could get that way if something tragic were to happen.
What if Mark Coleman's fucking neck gets broken?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, remember when fucking I'll give you a perfect example. Remember in Bellator when Dada 5000 and fucking Kimbo Slice fought?
Yeah, I do.
And that 100%. Dude almost died.
Yeah, he went to the hospital. They said he did die. They revived him.
Yeah.
And he almost died in the fucking Bellator cage, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can
That's
get
the danger kind of sideshow. Now, folks, listen, and if you're not familiar with that, I'm sure you've heard of Kimbo Slice, but Dada 5000 was a street fighter that they brought in as a main event. He's definitely out of shape. He was so out of shape that he... died at the hospital and was brought back to life and almost died in the goddamn ring during that fight. That fight was a disaster. But...
Because he had to cut so much weight, he never cut weight before. God forbid
some shit like that happens in the Bare Knuckle Fight Club with these guys. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I respect Mark Coleman. I don't know about Ken Shamrock. I don't know, man. Ken Shamrock is Ken Shamrock. I mean, he's an OG of the fight game. He can't really deny that, but... Fucking Ken Shamrock, man. He was saying he was going to start his own fight club, and then all of a sudden the president of the BKFC made that announcement.
Yeah, you know who else? Another legend has a fight coming up, too.
Who's that?
Fucking Tito Ortiz is fighting Alberto Del Rio. The fuck?
Who's a WWF or WWE guy or something, right?
No, he was in Pride.
He was in Pride?
Yeah.
I'd heard his name, but I couldn't place it.
He's like 9-5 in his MMA career. He fought Mirko Krokop.
This is occurring in Combate Americanas or whatever it
is?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never watched that promotion
before. I haven't either. His name on Pride was like Dos Caras Jr. or something like that. He used to wear a mask. He used to wear a luchador mask.
Really?
Yeah.
Does Tito have a chance against this? Is he?
Tito's going to beat the fucking shit out of him.
That's kind of what I was thinking too when I heard it.
Tito signed him for like, I think, 2 fights with them. Like a 2-fight deal.
They're just giving him some shit he can go in and stomp some people for. That would be the best thing that could happen for them because Tito will go out and fucking parade.
He was saying that it's going to be in America.
Really?
He said possibly in Texas.
He's going to try and get into the U.S. market down there by Texas. That's not a bad plan. That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
I mean, people, amazingly, Tito's name still polls. Yeah. Fuck, it's crazy.
That would be.
I'm not interested in that fucking fight in any way. I mean, I'll read about it.
Did you see Tito on Ariel Helwani's show, though?
No, I don't watch Tito Ortiz
interviews.
Dude,
he said he could do better against Jon Jones
than Daniel Cormier. Yeah. Yeah, he could do better against Jon Jones than DC could and beat Jon Jones. Of course he could beat Jon Jones. Of course. You know, Tito Ortiz
could
actually...
And then he apologizes like a bitch.
No. That's just the fucking game. Like, you know, Tito Ortiz could beat DC and Jon Jones at the same time. While Jenna's fucking blowing him.
Oh, shit.
God, dude. I wish he would retire. That's a dude I wish would retire. I've liked Tito Ortiz since the UFC days. Since he was fighting Ken fucking Shamrock.
Dude, you know he's on a win streak, though.
I know he is. It's crazy. He's just going to get an injury, but that fight's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not, but... He'll probably win either way.
Guess we'll see that second fight. Find some other can they could feed to Tito.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, he comes out, so he apologized. I didn't read about the apology, though. So yeah, he said sorry.
He's like, I'm sorry. I was speaking in terms of, like, when I was in my prime, not saying I could beat you guys right now or some shit like that. He's like, I obviously respect you guys a lot as a fighter. You guys are the greatest of all time, blah, blah, blah. Being a little bitch, kind of. I was like, dude, you talk your shit. You better back it up, man. Or if you know you're out of the game like that, then literally say, maybe in my prime. Don't say, yeah, I'd fuck them up.
That's not what he meant.
I'd do better against Jon Jones than DC, whereas the exact quote, it's not, hey, in my prime, I think I could probably hang in there better with Jon Jones than DC. No, he said, I could do it right now with a great, I think he said, with a better training camp.
Yeah, that's exactly what he meant, too.
Yeah.
If my neck wasn't injured.
Crazy.
Fucking crazy indeed, man. I think that wraps the fucking show on some fucking funny Tito Ortiz bullshit, which is like pretty much anything that comes out of Tito Ortiz's mouth. But we'll see if that fight comes to fruition. We're going to keep smoking on this pixie dust and this banana tangy. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to get a big increase in visitors. that'd be too much. Big increase in listeners lately. We want to thank everybody. Yeah. We're nearing in on the 50,000 people per episode mark, which would be quite a milestone for us. Just a year in, haven't even had 50 episodes yet. Maybe we can hit 50 on our 50th episode. That would be pretty dope. So tell a friend you know that likes MMA, likes smoking that weed. Tell them to tune in to our show. You can find it on WBUZ95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app Thursday nights, 6 p.m. out here in Vegas, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Where can they get the other info at?
And head on over to swapmma.com. Grab yourself a t-shirt. Support the podcast. And, and then head over to Instagram and hit that follow button. Drop some comments.
All the links are on the website. Thanks, everybody. Peace.